Homily 20. Eating and drinking Christ's flesh and blood. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. As I grow in age and rage, the fault of my teenage years that most troubles me is the selfish way I took for granted the sacrifices my father and mother made to raise and educate me. Whenever I spoke to my students of having drunk the blood of my mother and father in an egotistical way, I always sensed that I had awakened some students to the embarrassing realization that they too were guilty of the same narcissism. One of the most moving stories about King David concerns the time when he and his fighting men were pinned down by the Philistines, who were occupying his native town of Bethlehem. Because of increasing thirst, King David said aloud how much he would like to have water from the Bethlehem well. Three of his best fighting men broke through the Philistine army and brought back Bethlehem well water for David. However, David poured the water on the ground and said, "God forbid that I should drink the blood of these men who risked their lives for me." David was too shrewd to be seen profiting from his men's courage, a selfish way of drinking their blood. The Gospels of the past few weeks centered on physical hunger that Jesus satisfied by multiplying the loaves and fish for over 5,000 people. In so doing, he underscored that the kingdom of God, he both is and inaugurates by his presence, a kingdom very much concerned with this world, with human beings and their needs. But the first reading turns our attention to the spiritual hunger and thirst of human beings. God's wisdom commands us to eat of her food and drink, of her wine, not in the false way that Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and were therefore barred from eating the fruit from the tree of life. To know the meaning of life and living accordingly is true wisdom. Jesus, God's in flesh wisdom, prayed that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. True wisdom. The Apostle Paul scoffed at Greek wisdom and emphasized that only Christ crucified and risen is God's true wisdom. Jesus promised wisdom, eternal life, to those who eat his flesh and drink his blood. As the bread from heaven, Jesus is the new tree of life. Only eating from this tree quenches our spiritual hunger and thirst. Is there anything more shrouded in mystery in our daily experience than the process of nutrition, the transformation of a variety of foods into human living bodily tissue? We, who are made in God's image and likeness, imagine something as simple as an apple being eaten, transformed into something human. This morning's gospel, of course, refers to the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, the sacrament through which Jesus mysteriously gives us his body and blood to be eaten and drunk. In this way, we become Jesus' mystical body, truly changed into and united with him. As the Apostle Paul writes, "Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." The nutritional process is reversed. Instead of food becoming us, we become the body and blood of Christ. We eat and drink. Human eating and drinking. It does more than nourish us. I love to cook. I've done a Christmas Eve pasta for at least the past 35 years that family and friends rave about. I even cooked elk last Christmas. At the former apartment building, I had my own kitchen, and I would cook Indian, Korean, Chinese, Malaysian, and other spicy foods for those who appreciated spicy, tasty food. I've noticed over the years how good food and drink deepens family life, binds friends more deeply, and creates community. Is this not what Jesus' many meals with his disciples, his emphasis on the messianic banquet in the age to come, the Last Supper, the Eucharist, symbolize? The saint and martyr, Ignatius of Antioch, cried out when thrown to the lions in the arena, "I am God's wheat, ground fine by the lion's teeth, to be made the purest bread for Christ." The Eucharist we celebrate in remembrance of Christ asks of us to be martyred daily for others. Being a good priest these days is like being nibbled to death by pollywogs. Marriage, raising children, single life, daily life for most people is no different. Few of us will be thrown to the lions, but Christ asks all Christians to be thrown in self-sacrificing love to the pollywogs that inflict the martyrdom of daily life.